Skeptia Radio from London, a bilingual radio to listen and think.
My name is Ignacio Peiró, and I'm the director of the Instituto Cervantes in London. I am delighted to collaborate once more in this series with the Institute of Latin American Studies and the Institute of Modern Language Research. Thank you very much, Professor Catherine Davis, for coming along today. Thinking Ibero-America invites personalities from that vast cultural region to share and discuss their visions about the most varied fields of human knowledge. This evening, our guest is the popular Chilean singer, MC, lyricist, and rap composer, Ana Tijoux. Bienvenida.
Muchas gracias. Thank you.
She's also a feminist and a political activist. Her songs denounce the failings of society, especially abuse against women. She argues for women's rights and attacks all forms of gender-based violence. Although in her new project, Ana has also made a change in sound and style, exploring a more intimate side as well. To chair this conversation, we have once more with us the critic and translator Juan Toledo. In a new collaboration with his cultural project, El Ojo de la Cultura Hispanoamericana, with which we are running a literature series you might be interested in, called Authors in Search of a Reader. Our last talk on this series last month was dedicated to the sadly missed Chilean poet Nicanor Parra, and our next one will be on May 31st, and the honored author will be the Peruvian poet Cesar Vallejo. You are invited to join us in Instituto Cervantes. I thank you all for your attendance and wish you all a very pleasant and inspiring evening with Ana and Juan. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ana. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for being here. It's a pleasure and an honor, actually, to be interviewing Ana today here at the Senate House. She is on a fleeting visit to London. She just came back from Berlin. She's doing a concert tomorrow and then flying to, from London, where are you going to?
Paris.
To Paris. So there you are, a globetrotter indeed. When I was asked about interviewing Ana, I have heard about Ana. And I have paid attention to some of her songs, but I never look in detail to the iconography, the aesthetics, everything else. So I will be learning a lot. And probably there are people here who know more about Ana than I do. So forgive me. I'm for that reason, we're going to have a conversation of about, I don't know, 45, 50 minutes. And then we open questions to the public. We have a couple of videos, three videos, in fact, to look at Ana's work on video, music videos, and discuss about, again, iconographies, presentation of music, etc., etc. But I'm going to start with a big word, which is identity. Mm-hmm. And identity on two aspects, the musical identity and the geographical identity. Let's start with the geographical first. You were born in Lille, in France, and live in Paris, but your parents and all your family is Chilean. Mm-hmm. Do you feel Chilean? Do you feel Parisian? Do you feel a citizen of the world? How do you feel?
Wow. Well, I think when I was born, like, in some way, sometimes I was feeling French. Sometimes at all. Sometimes I was feeling very Chilean, but I never went to Chile, so it was very contradictory. Mm-hmm. And so with time, perhaps, like, I don't know if I could say, like, in a conscious way, like, I feel Chilean or I feel French or I feel citizen. I think more I travel, more I feel from everywhere. I think every travel that I make, I take a piece of that land to my home. Like, I think we are the result of the multiplicity of traveling, and every travel learn to you something, even details, food, the perspective, the way of a vision, the smell of the streets. I think this kind of details, like you put in a box, and all that for me represent one weird country, which is the world, in some way.
Indeed, no, it's something that permeates through your music too. And musically speaking, you are defined as a hip-hop artist and as a rapper, but if once listen to your music has changed quite a bit and it has many variations. Do you consider yourself a hip-hop artist? Do you think that that's something that limits your perspective or the perspective of somebody who's coming new to your music? Or do you feel just as a musician as a whole?
I feel more than a musician, a rapper, I feel I am a loop. I think as a loop, and I will say this, I think my house of the music is hip hop. And in this house, I've got a plenty of room, and I've got a garden. Sometimes I need to go out from my house and go and run away, and then I come back to home, so I'm hip hop once again, and then I come back. So I always come back to hip hop in some way, because I've got a lot of friends that make like more classical music or traditional music, and they get a very different way of arriving of music than me. So that has been more traditional, or make like the conservatory or whatever. And my way of arriving to the music is very, very, very different. So I think the way that I build music, even if it's not hip hop, is in a very hip hop way. Yeah. I'm thinking a loop all the time. Like, can we repeat that? Can you repeat that? Can you repeat that? Like, and that for me is hip hop. You know, it's okay, like a sample. Yeah. So I more than hip hop, I think I've got a sample in my head.
Okay, and hip hop. Do you think that because of your background, your parents were imprisoned by Pinochet? They have to leave their country, and they went to France. You were born in Lille, and then they moved to Paris. And your mother is a famous sociologist too. Is a renowned sociologist in Chile. So, do you think that the background that you had, and probably the discussions that you have at home, make you that political background, that political substance,
yes,
that informs your songs?
Yes, totally. Yes. 100%. Yes, I think like all the construction, all the conversation at home, all the vision, the internationalist way of the vision of my parents built my own eyes. Even, and sometimes we're not agree with the three of us. I love the discussion because, so my mother, she's a sociologist, and my father is a scientist, political scientist.
Okay, wow.
So it's interesting because my mother, she's Marxist, and my father is Marxist Trotskista, and me, I don't know. So like the conversation are super funny, and big battles of political. Yeah. And sometimes we're not agree to each other. And,
of course.
And that's what I love about home. Like we get different vision perspectives sometimes. And yes, I would say like all the education that I had, like, even if it was very emotional, with a lot of emotion, like people make a lot of difference between politics and emotion. And I think, to be un ser, how you say,
a human being,
political is first is an emotional political, emotional person, no? So yes, I will say that all this background builds everything that I am right now.
Yeah, and it's quite interesting to talk about the whole thing about emotion, because although your work has an intellectual and political background, I think what is much stronger than anything else is the emotion. I think emotion comes before the politics. Would you say that?
I think that emotion is political. Mm-hmm. I think it's weird what I'm saying, but I think the first relationship in a couple is a political relationship. It's where you get to apply. Love is that's what I'm saying, like love in the biggest concept of love. I mean, like not only love in a couple, love with your kids, love with your friends, love with your colleagues at work, is a political and a love relationship. Is everything that I can talk right now can be shit. Can I say shit here in this place?
Yes, you can.
I see these two guys, I'm so afraid, like, shit.
Yeah.
So, but I think that's where you got to apply, like, everything that you say and you feel, basically. Yeah. So, I will say, yes, for me, emotion is de la par.
Hand in hand.
Exacto.
Hand in hand, muy
sí,
bien.
For me.
Now, in terms of the music that your parents gave you, what kind of music did they listen to?
What kind of
music were you exposed to at home as a family of exiles from Chile, living in Paris?
Yes, I will say that it was very like different. My mother always listened a lot of jazz.
Jazz?
A lot.
Okay.
Then you got all this background of Latin American music, Daniel Biglietti, Loli Mareño from Daniel Biglietti, Uruguay, Loli Mareño, Atahualpa Yupanqui from Argentina. Silvio Rodríguez de Cuba, Pablo Milanés.
So, I was going to talk about that. I was going to ask you about the influence of the La Canción Protesta, the political songs of Latin America of the 70s. Mm-hmm. Violeta Parra, Víctor Jara, and you know many other artists. Were you exposed to those there at home when you were a child?
Yes, totally. I think that this music has been like my was my teacher of history, my teacher okay. of... That was my connection with Latin America, and so I, because I was not there. So it was like, they. I think they built a map of what I thought that was Latin America.
Yeah.
You know, there was, they make me an unconsciousness about Latin America.
Yeah.
Un inconsciente.
Yeah. They make you an imagined Latin America.
Un imaginario, yes.
Yeah, un imaginario latinoamericano, yes, indeed. And tell me about the 80s, because you are in France, and then you travel to Chile when you are, you're a teenager, 14, 15 mm-hmm. years old. When did you travel to Chile for the first time?
No, first time I got six.
You were six? Oh, okay, fine. And then you went back again when you were 14, 15?
Yes.
And in the 80s, how often did you were in Chile when you were a teenager?
No, I came back when I was a teenager, and then I stayed in Chile as a teenager.
As a teenager?
Yes.
Okay. So how old were you when you decided to stay in Chile?
I didn't decide. They decided for me.
Oh, they decided for you. Okay. So you, okay. How old were you?
Huh?
How old?
Can 14, you
14. 14. 14. So when, what I'm trying to establish here is about when does the reinvention as a person, because there must be a moment in you that you decide, okay, I can be an artist, mm-hmm. I can rap, I can do this,
uh-huh.
you know, I can make a living out of this, uh-huh. and I want to dedicate my life to uh-huh. this. When does it happen?
Later, much later. I think you talk about reinvention,
yeah.
and I think to come back to Chile as a teenager was very hard, like mm-hmm. you know, trying to understand what was Chile, what was this strange country, so weird for yeah. me, like... the geographic of Chile, like the mountain, Los Andes, the north, the desert, then the south. It was like, wow, what is this? Like, I was really trying to understand.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
and in some way, part of me died at that moment, and that's where the reinvention
uh-huh,
began.
Happened. Yeah, okay.
That's it's mm-hmm. interesting what you say. And that, I didn't understand at that time, but. I think I had to kill all my imaginario at the same
yeah,
time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because it's an imaginario.
Yeah, from the idea that you
yes,
had to the
you
reality
got,
you that you were confronting.
You got this idealist vision.
Yeah, indeed.
And then no, like it was like, poof, and you confront to the realness and then you confront to the beauty of the realness also. But you understand that with time. Time is a very good friend of process, no? And
yeah.
So I began to rap later, much more later, and when I was 18 years old, I think.
Okay. And your grandparents, in which part of Chile?
Santiago.
In Santiago, so in
Santiago.
The capital?
Yes,
okay.
In the capital, yes.
Fine. Now, when you start to rap, the first thing that you went to a famous band called Maquisa.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that. How did it happen? And because you stayed with Maquisa for almost 10 years, and there was a comeback with
yeah.
the band. So it's an important part of your musical
yes.
formation.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Maquisa was an accident.
It was an accident.
I think it was an accident, but a beautiful accident.
Okay.
Como a mistake, a beautiful
yeah,
mistake.
Yeah, a beautiful mistake.
See.
Yeah.
Because like, it just at that point, like I began to rap by my own, and I decided to rap because I fall in love deeply with freestyle. And,
okay.
And I fall in love with freestyle. I always love hip hop, but at the time I had an amazing teacher at school. And we had this chapter of Surrealistas and Dadaists, and for mm-hmm. me, I make this amalgamia.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
That mm-hmm. freestyle was Dadaismo puro.
Dadaismo. Okay.
It was like
Dada.
Okay. But like, but with rap, that
yeah, okay.
was like, wow, this world is amazing. Like mm-hmm. people can join words and make sense or no sense or make you laugh and
yeah.
and have rhythm.
Yeah.
And it's funny because. When I was very little, my father and my mother was always engaged political, so
yeah.
I always go to political meetings.
Yeah.
But at the end, I feel I was much more like attracted by the way that people talk, like the rhythm.
Yeah. Okay.
More than what they were saying, like it was
okay.
like more.
Okay.
Nos encontramos en momentos políticos. It
yeah.
was like
yeah.
wow.
Okay, yes. You were looking into the rhythm and
yeah,
the musicality of
yes.
the normal speech.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like. Teacher, like there is
indeed,
a way of talking, the way of the musical of the syllables, no?
Yeah, indeed.
So, to come back then, I feel that freestyle was this joint between rhythm,
spoken
words,
yeah.
yes, and mm-hmm. then I make freestyle for 1 year and a half or something like that, like, but I was the most annoying person because I was rhyming all day. I couldn't talk without rhyme. I was like, you was telling me something and I got to rhyme. So my yeah. mother was like, stop it, please. And I was rhyming.
Okay.
And this obsessive moment was very important because that's how I meet Magisa, and I meet these two, three guys that we make this band after, and one of them was coming Canada, was born in Canada, the other in was not born in Switzerland, but had a long life.
So truly international.
That's what does, and the other was coming back from Burundi, from the civil war.
From Burundi.
So, yes.
And they're all in Santiago at
all
the time.
In Santiago. Wow. So we joined, like all of us, we was like, yes, I was not born here. No, me neither. It was like a join of history at the end.
Okay.
And that's make the magical connection between us making this rap band called Magisa.
And this idea of the political message, do you see rap and hip hop as a kind of the perfect vehicle for political messaging, so if you can use that verb, with music?
No,
you know what I mean?
No.
You don't see it that way?
No, because I'm not agree, because Miles Davis for me is very political, and
okay,
there is no lyrics.
Okay.
It's called Train Tambien. I think there is a bunch of music that doesn't need to have words and
to be political. Jimi Hendrix could be political too.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the guitar talk.
Yeah,
so
okay.
I will not make this poster say, okay, yes, this rap got to be. No, music. Music is a window of communication, and it can be so diverse and complex and beautiful and
yeah.
You know?
Indeed. We are gonna watch the first video.
Okay.
And the first video is the one to say Somos Sur.
Okay.
And here you got a fantastic rapper from Palestine, Shadia Mansour. Shadia, where are you? Hello, Shadia. And tell us about that collaboration before I can just play the video. But tell
yes
us how that song happened, because it's so beautiful. And we were talking about before the combination of Arabic language with the Spanish language, which
yes
is also the message and universal.
Yes.
I mean, the message is that the battles
yes
is an universal battle.
Yes.
Here, the battles of communities.
Yes. Yes.
And the communities, a common theme in some of your songs is the excluded communities,
uh-huh,
the voiceless communities, the communities
yes
without voices.
Yes, the idea is exactly that. It's like the way of how we can explain what it means, Somos Sur. And Somos Sur, for me, means like the land of the oppressed people, lucha de clase. And you can find it even in North America, in England. It's not even anymore about the map, you know? Like, we live in a moment, historical moment, where oppression is on a higher level, you know? So when we made the song, for me, it was very natural. I think that the best way also to explain about occupation and was always with the fight of Palestinian brother and sister. So como I had the chance to listen Shadia music,
yeah,
and it was very simple. I write to her as a fan, like, I love your music, you're fantastic. And then we make the connection, and we made the connection by internet, basically.
Yeah, okay.
And without knowing to each other, and then we say, come to Chile to shoot the video. I say, yeah, let's go. And I was a little bit afraid because I didn't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have a perspective
yeah
or this,
yeah,
what we were saying before, this, no era la ilusión, era la...
El imaginario.
The imaginary of somebody,
yeah,
you match
yes
something, but then the realness is like, boom, yes.
Mm. Yeah.
But in this case, it was the opposite. It was like even deeper, like
yeah
a lot of.
Or even better than the imaginario.
The imaginario, it was un super imaginario.
Yeah, un super
imaginario.
Okay, indeed. And the other thing that you discovered, I didn't know until today, that apparently in Chile, there is the largest population of Palestinian exiles in the world. I mean, the largest population of Palestinian people outside Palestine live in Chile. Is that true?
I think it's after Jordania.
After Jordania. Yeah,
because
I was thinking about Chile is a bit far away from the Middle East.
No, but it's true. But we get the Palestinian team of
yeah
soccer, like the community of Palestine. Like right now, even in Chile, like, I'm sorry, I forgot the name of that young girl that is in prison right now. So in Santiago right now, you got panels everywhere of this girl.
Okay.
Like, there is really a solidarity with the Palestinian.
With Palestinian people, yes.
Mm.
Okay. Well, let's watch the video, and we can talk about a little bit about the message and the iconography of the video. Here we go.
Tú nos dices que debemos sentarnos, pero las ideas solo pueden levantarnos, caminar, correr, no rendirse ni retroceder, ver, aprender cómo esponja absorbe. Nadie sobre todos, faltan todos, suman todos para todos, todo para nosotros. Soñamos en grande que se caiga el imperio, lo ahorita más claro, no queda más remedio. Esto no es utopía, es alegre rebeldía del baile de los que sobran de la danza tuya mía. Levantarlos para decir ya va, ni África ni América Latina se suba. Con barro, con casco, con lápiz a patear el fiasco, provocar un social terremoto en este charco.
Talk to you about it with this video in general is about this idea of the community and the idea of the community as a sort of kind of resilient organism, as a positive outcome of difficult times, or the possibility of the community coming together to overcome problems. I got the impression when I listened to your music and watch your videos is that fundamentally you're an optimistic. But there's an element of optimism in your music. You present the possibility of empowerment and the possibility of improvement. Would you agree with that?
I think what is the esa frase? I'm very pessimist in the theory.
I'm pessimist in theory really? And very optimist in practice.
Exacto.
Okay.
I feel fine. Totally like that.
Okay, come on.
I think that organization and capacity of solidarity, international solidarity. Yes, I think is a weapon that is crucial.
Yeah, a vital weapon.
Vital. I will say, vital, yeah. Vital tool to build humanity in the world. But sometimes I'm very, very pessimist. I've got to say, I can lie.
And for example, the other aspect that I wanted to talk about, and this will bring me to the next video that I want to play, it is about hip-hop and the genre, a female voice within a genre that some people have recognized as a hardcore, male, violent kind of genre. Because like any other artistic manifestation. It started as a political movement in America when hip-hop started in the black urban communities in the United States. But it prostituted itself. It became something else. It became some mechanism of kind of misogyny, chauvinism, demonstration of power by power of the underprivileged, so to speak. Do you think that you, as a female rapper and hip-hop artist and a musician, do you think that women, and also Shadia, for example, women bring a new, fresher look into that genre, that musical genre, which is hip-hop and rap?
I will say, I will make a correction. I don't think that hip-hop is misogynist. I think the world is misogynist.
Okay,
you know, because we can make a poster about hip-hop and say, oh, okay, hip-hop is misogynist. Yeah. Well, guess what? We are in 2018, and even in academic, some women don't win the same money than a man. Like, we are talking about this in the world, so we shouldn't take out this poster about hip-hop. And I think the industry put that misogynic music on the radio. There is a bunch, a lot of artists doing different stuff. There is a lot of proposition, but it's in parallel. Perhaps they are not in the commercial ear of
doesn't get aired, but
But yes, I think that right now we live in a very interesting moment where there is a lot of female rappers that are appearing more and more, and we get so much to tell that there is so many history to open. So there is a bunch of new female rappers in Latin America, from Nicaragua, Guatemala, Argentina, Bolivia, and a young generation also, and that's very refreshing also. Like, and that put hip hop like in a new
in a new wave.
Exacto.
So in a new way of thinking. And do you see hip hop as a, or these new artists and yourself as a part of a tradition, that tradition that we mentioned before? Do you feel that tradition, the tradition of Victor Jara, Silvio Rodriguez, Violeta Parra, Piero, etc.? Do you see that tradition of the of the protest song in Latin America?
I think that we are the consequences of all those musicians. Without blues, you couldn't have jazz. Without jazz, we don't have hip-hop.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
So I will say the same with all these Latin American writers in music.
Yeah, indeed.
For example, Victor Jara. I've got friends of mine that are metal, metal.
Yeah.
Other that folklorista, other that rapper, other that are whatever.
Yeah.
Victor Jara crossover everybody.
Okay.
So we are the kids, we are the sons of that music, and not only in hip hop, everywhere. And there is always a tradition in the world of telling story. There is a tradition in music, like in all kind of music everywhere. And in Latin America, with this tradition of folkloric music, of rhyming, and it can be paya, it can be decimas, there is a tradition of poetry. So yes, of course, that also like is a result in hip-hop. Of course, yes, I don't know specifically in what place, but of course, yes.
What you're saying is very interesting, because what you're saying, I was thinking about salsa, for example, and salsa is such a popular genre. And obviously, you got very good salsa lyricists, people like Rubén Blades, for example, indeed. And even some songs by Celia Cruz.
Yes. Yo Arroyo.
Yo Arroyo, indeed. Yo Arroyo, talking about
La Rebelión there is some piece that explain Latin America for me.
Yeah.
When I listen Chico Huarque or La Construcción, I understand so many stuff about Latin America.
Yeah.
When I listen Yo Arroyo, the Colombia, La Rebelión, you understand slavery in Colombia. So yes, I would say, of course, that all these writers are historiadores in some way. Popular, academical,
Indeed, it's part of the kind of the collective narrative of the continent.
Exacto, and the words built reality, and the music built reality.
I want to continue with the genre thing, because I'm going to talk about that video that you made about patriarchalism.
Antipatriarcado.
What is the title of the song? Antipatriarca. And it's very much, obviously.
And there is not that name on the dictionary.
I was going to say, it's an adjective.
I search it.
It doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah, indeed. And because it's very interesting. It's not kind of, it's not recognized by la Academia Real de la Lengua. But it's interesting, that video, because in that video, it's not only about that, it's the marginalized. You're talking about gay couples, you're talking about women, you're talking about domestic violence. it's quite prominent in the genre element there. Tell me about how you came about it. I mean, what was the genesis of that song in particular?
That was interesting because it's so we never stop to form to each other.
To educate each other.
Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of reflection with this song that appeared at that time, and I didn't have those reflection like 3 years before. And those reflection or thoughts appear with conversation, with documentary, mm-hmm. with, wow, I never thought about that before. That's true. Like, even I was thinking so badly about I got two kids, but I was thinking about my first kid at that time, and mm-hmm. and I was thinking, like, okay, Luciano was on my... Well,
you are mother already. You have a third child.
Yes,
but when you wrote the song.
Yes, okay. I was pregnant of my second child, and I was thinking, like, okay, I'm pregnant of Emilia right now. I've got Luciano. They drink my milk. They're in my barriga. Yes. They're in my flesh, and they still like that. My name will be on the second place. Why?
Why?
And I was like, why? Yes. Like, and those kind of reflection, like making echo on my head.
Yeah.
Or one day I was with my kid Luciano, and we was talking about women and men, and we was arriving at school, and it was like 10 kids outside, mm-hmm. 9 girls and 1 little boy. And I was saying to Luciano, how you will write this sentence, this esta frase?
Mm-hmm.
And he say, ellos están conversando. They are
talking. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But how one guy can cut like the ellas?
Ellas. Okay. Fine. Yeah.
You know how?
Yes. The collective.
So I was thinking about
the collective way, pronoun is masculine.
So I was thinking a lot. I know that for some people say, oh la la. But I mean, like, it's interesting because the word, la palabra, crea realidad.
Well, that's a feminist theory. You know that you are entering into the kind of the whole thing about the analysis of language from a feminist mm-hmm. point of view.
Yes,
the whole thing about they. Well, in English, it doesn't. That separation doesn't exist.
Sí.
It's neutral gender,
sí.
Although not completely. But in Spanish, you have to specify
sí.
The gender.
Sí, the gender.
And the they, ellos implies women and
yes,
men. Amigos. Female and male, but amigas only female.
Yes, only female. So I was thinking about all this kind of conversation, and then I received an amazing manifesto
uh-huh.
from unas compañeras from Bolivia
okay.
that live in Argentina. There is a lot of Bolivian working in Argentina.
Yeah, a large community of workers. And domestic workers.
And mm-hmm. they live in Buenos Aires, a lot of them in the capital. So I received a very simple manifesto that was not this academic mass feminist manifesto. It was very simple. It was like, I will not accept that you scream to me. I will not accept that you beat me. And that's how the song was born in some way. I was super, that's why I always say my.
So it's not necessarily domestic violence, but the exploitation of domestic servants.
All kind of exploitation.
All kind of exploitation,
yeah.
Okay.
So that's the way I like, that's the way the song was born.
The other thing, talking about the identity to the surname, Gijo is your maternal surname, not your paternal one.
That's another story.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on that?
It's
going back to the idea of identity.
It's a little bit more complicated, but I don't have the name of my real father.
I see. So you took the name of your mother's name.
My mother gave me her since I was born her name.
Okay.
I always was Tiju.
It wasn't a personal decision by you.
No, it was a fight between my parents.
Okay, okay. Let's watch the video that we are talking about. Here we go.
Cualquiera de todas depende de cómo tú me apodas. Pero no voy a ser la que obedece porque mi cuerpo me pertenece. Yo decido de mi tiempo cómo quiero y dónde quiero. Independiente yo nací, independiente decidí. Yo no camino detrás de ti, yo camino de la para ti.
Tú no me vas a humillar, tú no me vas a gritar. Tú no me vas a someter, tú no me vas a golpear. Tú no me vas a denigrar, tú no me vas a obligar. Tú no me vas a silenciar, tú no me vas a callar.
No sumisa ni obediente, mujer fuerte, insurgiente, independiente y valiente, romper la cadena de lo indiferente. No pasiva ni oprimida, mujer linda que da vida, emancipada en autonomía, activa, alerta y alegría. Ser protagonista de nuestra historia y la que agita la gente, la comunidad, la que despierta la vecindad, la que organiza la economía de su casa, de su familia.
Mujer linda se pone de pie y a romper las cadenas de la piel.
Tú me vas a humillar, tú me vas a gritar. Tú no me vas a golpear, tú no me vas a denigrar, tú no me vas a obligar, tú no me vas a silenciar, tú no me vas a callar.
No sumisa ni obediente, mujer fuerte, insurgiente, independiente y valiente, romper la cadena de lo indiferente. No pasiva ni oprimida, mujer linda que da vida, emancipada en autonomía, activa, alerta y alegría.
Excellent. I like the way that you said it came from a kind of manifesto that you received from these women working in Argentina, these Bolivian women, because the song feels like a manifesto. Does it feel like a manifesto to you?
Yes.
That direction, like, no me vas a humillar, no me vas a denigrar. This sort of, not commands, but saying clearly, stating where your position is.
Sí, o sea, a bit, a long time yeah. I didn't see this video. That yeah. It's, but it's interesting. Como I like that video. I never thought yeah. I like it so much.
Because I quite and like it too.
I like it, yes. And it's funny that we are in a room of pensamiento crítico, and we see two men, like no yes. woman in this room, like and putting this video. This well, is interesting
a
for
military
me.
A military man, probably a
full of men, like
chancellor of university.
So
yeah.
Yes, pero yes, it's like. I think it's that's why I think that music and my lyrics is I'm a very good storyteller of idea. Yes. I think.
And where was it filmed? Which cities or several cities at the same time?
All the world.
All
like,
the world. Okay.
We contact everybody to Japan, to yeah. South Africa, yeah. really everywhere.
And that's part of the spirit of your music, isn't it? This universality of things, this universal language of the struggle, the sort of the internationalism of the. Basically of the injustice, very common across the world, across social classes, and also across gender. Mm-hmm. It's also transgenerational too. Mm-hmm. You go to several generations from the oldest to the youngest
yes.
to the children.
Because I think that we always have been trying to be put, to cut to each other. Like, so we are in this amazing place right now.
Okay.
And I mean, this place is beautiful. No?
Yes.
No?
Yeah.
We can feel el pensamiento,
yeah,
no?
<okay.
laughs> But at the same time, like, I feel that a lot of people is afraid of this place.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That puts you also like in a position like
culture is an oppression too.
I mean,
yeah.
In every place, like with music, with
yeah.
age, like I don't
exclusive spaces.
Yes, like the individualism
okay.
of and
mm-hmm. yes.
and I think which is interesting about life is fall down those wall of individuality to
yes.
have the capacity to see like to each other and the beauty of the difference and even like and without taking away your identity, which is very different. But yes, like I think that's that empoderamiento of
yeah.
I think it's something that interests me in general, like
And I was thinking about also another question about you, normally empowering people or empowering individuals, but also the whole thing about a space, occupying spaces, and with your music occupying certain spaces, not only mental and intellectual spaces, but also geographical spaces. Videos like this being filmed in many different parts of the world, with many different people and many different communities, having people who look Asian and having a gay couple from Latin America, they look Latin Americans to me, I don't know, probably, but that kind of element, occupying those spaces through music.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that it's not another tool, like, general, the video. I think it's another door to touch, I think.
And I'm going to move last, because open to the questions to the people, but we are going to do the last video, which is a very curious video. You're taking a quote by Marx: everything that is solid will vanish into thin air. Todo lo que es sólido se desvanece en el aire. Which is a perfect, I was saying to you, it's a perfect Alexandrine, 14 syllables.
I never thought about that.
But it's basically, I learned that from Octavio Paz. I didn't know because I counted the thing, but it's a perfect Alexandrine in Spanish. But it's very interesting because also it's the only one with cartoons and animations.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what you came about. And it's one of my favorites. Of all the videos I've been watching of yours, this is one of my favorites because it's very political, it's very direct. It's a critique of capitalism itself. You're moving a gear here. Mm-hmm. You're moving away, just think, okay, look at what the system is like.
Mm-hmm. I wanted that my kid understand the video. That's why I make it like that.
Ah, it was a present for your kid.
Yes.
Okay, there you are. Let's look at it.
I know that some teacher put it in Santiago, and they write me some teacher, and they put the video in the school, and they say, no, you can't put that video in school, like it's too violent. Like
it is. There is an element of that, but let's watch it and have a conversation about this.
Donde la humanidad fuera fundamental, donde todos fuéramos iguales, universal, sin patrones ni amos, ni el nuevo orden mundial. ¿Cómo sería este mundo sin capital? Donde la vida fuera lo más elemental, sin patrones ni amos, ni tu nuevo orden mundial, y sin tu fuerza policial. En un solo instante todo lo devora, todo se desploma, se cae a pedazos como el imperio de Roma. No hay forma alguna de tener equilibrio si la balanza ha caído y no se ha sostenido. A quien no trabaja para la maquinaria, para quien no procede, no produce o no paga. Pasa en la calle y pasa en tu casa, sobrepasa todo pero todo se rebalsa. Y desprecio, destruye con el miedo a quien se levanta y lo apunta con el dedo.
Como una señal de este ideal, nada ni nadie podrá quitar este palpitar para impulsar. Nadie nos podrá borrar este gran soñar, este fuego que llevamos a usar.
Yeah.
see what I like about this video? What I like about this video is that there are two narratives, what you are singing, but also the visuals. Mm-hmm. And there's an element of, for example, ecology, the new sort of kind of the new environmental movement, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Which I think that you don't see much in music, actually. And you don't see much anywhere else. I mean, even in literature, you don't see that much. Being the biggest problem that we are facing now as a species, there's not enough production, critical production. There's a lot of scientific production, but no critical production in the artistic sense of about environments. And even there are songs about environment, but very few. Poets have been more conscious about that than novelists. But there's an element of that too. But it's also the narrative of what you are singing, which is about capitalist system. Mm-hmm. And also the title, as I said, taken directly from a quote by Marx. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting, that dichotomy. Who did the...
He's a friend of mine that made political vignettes, and he never made a video. So
it was his first video,
and the only one he made. And
excellent.
And he's a very good friend, and we decided to write the script together.
Okay.
And what do you imagine? Like, I imagine this, that. So it was like very funny to write this script.
How was it received by your fans and the people? What did they say when they saw that video? Because that's a departure from the rest of your videos.
I don't remember. I know that a lot of teachers have been using at school,
but
a lot of teachers also, I was telling before, that say that they couldn't put the video at school either because I was thinking that it was too violent.
And so, I got a very last question from me before I open to the public. And the last question is about what's next for you? Because you are now an international artist, renowned, endorsed by people like Thom Jones by Radiohead, and endorsed by Iggy Pop, which is the godfather of punk, but seriously iconic music figures around the world. What's next? I mean, where do you see yourself going, musically speaking?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I really don't know. I don't know because part of me wants to know and the other don't want to know at all. Like, I think there is... I don't know, I really don't. I never thought like I could be in this kind of room like a couple of years ago, so I don't know.
Okay, I see.
I don't know.
Yes. And so this business of being a mother and being an artist, an international artist, how difficult is it?
It's difficult as any worker mother, like it's not different from any other work.
Yeah.
It's interesting, like I do Tetrix with my work.
Where do you live at the moment?
In Chile.
You live in Chile, and your kids are in Chile at the moment?
In Chile.
Excellent. And what's next? I mean, in terms of performances, you are performing tomorrow here in London?
In London, yes.
In Jazz Café?
Yes, in Jazz Café.
And after London, are you performing anywhere else?
I finished the tour.
You finished the tour?
Yes.
Your parents are living in Chile or your parents are living
in Chile?
So everybody's back in Chile?
Everybody's in Chile right now.
And who is left in France? Just friends?
I've got two sisters in France.
A sister in France. Well, that's all from me. So what I want to do is just to open questions to anybody who has a question. And probably what we will do, Fermin, if you don't mind, is because we are recording this. This will be podcast. So the idea is that please speak to the microphone, but please feel free to make questions to Anna, to you.
Hello, Anna. Could you tell us a little bit about your influences at the time of composing your music and singing and all that?
My musical influence?
Yeah. Who has influenced you the most?
There are too many musicians, amazing. I'm a fan of so many musicians. I'm a groupie of too many. It depends on my mood. Sometimes I'm very Miles Davis, and then I'm super Public Enemy. Mm-hmm. And then I'm super, I don't know, Nina Simone, and then I'm super Fela Kuti. So I don't have a pattern of influence, to be honest, I think.
And do you get inspiration sometimes from Latin American literature as well?
I feel I'm very slow to read sometimes, like, and sometimes I'm reading five books at the same time and I'm stuck in one chapter and I fall in love with one chapter and I need to read one second as a loop. I'm a sample, so I read even as a loop and then I'm stuck and I say wow and think. That's what I'm thinking. I feel I'm slow. I've got friends that eat book, literally they eat book, and I'm like, too much, like, okay. And then I need to come back to this chapter. Once again, I go to old book. But I'm very chaotic at the moment when I'm reading.
I have a question concerning your concert tomorrow.
Yes.
And the album you're presenting, which is, I read, it's quite different, isn't it? It's
yes.
not rap anymore?
No.
What are you doing now and why? Why did you change from rap to this kind of more romantic music I read?
Yes. Well, but my question will be, why not? Like, it's funny because all the time I say, why are you not rapping this program? Why I should rap in? Like, why not? Come on. It was natural. Like, this project was born, which name is Roja y Negro, is a parallel project. And it was born on touring, like boring, very boring, like in airport. And we had some dead time, like waiting in the airport, waiting for the key of the hotel, waiting for the play, waiting. And during that wait, like, we begin to take the guitar and begin to compose and retake music that we love. And so we make a mixture between own composition and also music that we love, and we enjoy it. And is the beauty of the boring that give birth to this project.
Do you compose with a guitar?
I don't compose with a guitar. I'm a terrible guitarist. I try, but there is a lot of songs that I've made like with three notes, but I'm good, like, I'm think as a loop. So I put one note and I loop on one note and then the other put all the arrangements. So that's happened also, like, they play much, much, much better than me.
Hello. Can I make the question in Spanish?
Mm. Yeah. Gracias.
Me siento muy feliz, muy contento de tener cantantes como tú en la palestra chilena. De verdad me emociona mucho. La primera vez que escuché de ti fue en el Valle del Elqui.
Hermoso.
Sí, la gente te ama ya. Básicamente mi pregunta, yo nací en Chile y salí porque me quedé saturado de Chile.
Ajá.
Y a diferencia de tú, de ti que...
Sí, sí.
Básicamente mi pregunta es, ¿cuál es la responsabilidad que tienen los cantantes chilenos como tú, que tienen tribuna a la gente, en la responsabilidad a la política? O sea, básicamente, ¿qué pasa con la gente que tiene el poder popular, el poder de cantar a la gente,
claro,
de encantar también a la gente, y que desafortunadamente cambió un gobierno donde no vela mucho por la gente, y más por el capitalismo y el lado que es conservador acá en Inglaterra? ¿Cuál es la responsabilidad como artista local, como artista chilena, con el pueblo, básicamente?
Claro.
¿Dónde está la fuerza? ¿Por qué básicamente se perdió el poder, básicamente socialista, pero no tan socialista,
claro,
capitalista también?
Esa es mi pregunta. O sea, te agradezco mucho. Oye, gracias por los cafés, te amé.
Well, a quick translation. I know Anna could have done it herself. The quick translation is about what is the responsibility of an artist like Anna, who has seen the world but also lives in Chile, with the Chilean artists and with the Chilean people, and particularly with the sense that with the political changes that happens in every country. And I like the word that you say, people, a singer, una persona que canta, y una persona que encanta. To encantar is to enchant people. So the two go hand in hand in the Spanish, cantar y encantar.
Should I answer in English?
Please.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so first of all, I thank you for the coffee. And I would say that, like, I'm full of contradiction, and I've got much more question than answer the majority of the time. Like, I will amplify, like, perhaps your question, and I don't think that is the responsibility of the musician, is the responsibility of all of us. I think it's very heavy that to put, like, on the shoulder of artists the problem of the world. Like, we all live this problem. And why I'm saying this, because I think music are ¿cómo se dice? Acompañantes?
Companions?
Companion, historical companion of historical moment. But I don't know, in my case, like, sometimes I'm super pessimist, and then wow, I don't know, I got the possibility to see a teacher that make a class, and that person, I feel that is changing the brain and the chemical of the thought of every person that is in that room, you know? So the responsibility of that person is amplify also. It's not only in musician, it's not only in art, is everywhere, is in academic, in organization, at school, with your kid, with your friends, with your relationship. I think we got all a responsibility, an historical responsibility. It's true that music, we got the mic, it's true, but I think we all got different kind of microphone to amplify our thoughts. Sometimes, I don't know, like, you think that perhaps a conversation with one friend is only two person, but that two person is a whole universe. And those two person continue to install that beautiful virus of thoughts with more people. So, and I think also, like, talking about consciousness or unconsciousness, I love unconsciousness also. I'm not Stalinist at all with music. I think we need also music that is totally fantasiosa and poetic. I don't think we got to pull walls in art, and I hate fascism in all kinds. So I will say that perhaps our responsibility is a responsibility that we all got in our soul in some way. And I don't know what you do in life, if you're a teacher or whatever, like, or estudiante. Okay, so you got the same responsibility as me, you know? So that's what I want to say. It's a collective responsibility. And to say, yes, we're right now in this new government of Piñera, which is a very complicated moment, but we got to understand that this system of privatization is not, that was not under Piñera. Piñera just is symbol. Yes, he's very neoliberal and whatever, but we live in a privatization of all our rights since dictatorship. Like, this democracy since then never changed very much rule, you know? So we can put, like, we need all the time an enemy with a face, but the enemy got very different faces sometimes. And we live this enemy even in ourselves. So I think it's a battle with ourselves, and that's what I'm talking about, social responsibility in some way, you know.
Well, thank you for this fascinating talk. I just wanted to ask you something. As an artist myself, but I want to ask you, what do you expect, or what would be the ideal response you expect from people when they are confronted with what you do as an artist? I mean, are you waiting? Do you want them to just enjoy your art? I'm using the word just like in a very broad way, because for me, your videos are beautiful from an aesthetic point of view. But do you want people to enjoy only that part, the entire part, or only just, for example, just the words without the music? What do you expect from people?
I think it's very hard, like, to have an honest perspective about myself, because we are very narcissist also, and we are full of egocentrism, and we are fighting with our ego constantly. It will be, I think, it's part of our nature to fight with your nature. ¿Se entiende, no?
Como, yeah. Mm-hmm, indeed.
So it's very hard for me to understand sometimes what I want with it. Like, sometimes I enjoy my own singing. Sometimes I think, what I'm doing, like, I should do something else. Like, I'm the worst in this. Like, there is a bunch of questions that appear. But the best way perhaps that I can answer this, like, I'm so grateful all the time about all these artists that influence me. And I think there is una, ¿cómo se cadena alimenticia?
Food chain.
Perfect food chain of artists. And perhaps what make me very happy is when somebody say, yes, I make my own anti-patriarchal song in my own words, and you say, go, well, like, and perhaps in my own way I make a new version of La Rebellion of Joe Arroyo in my own words, you know? So I think we all touch to each other all the time. We are all connect, like, creatively, and is an orgasmic, multitudinaria connection, I think, in art.
Well, that's all from me. Thank you very much, Anna. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Anna.
Se
Fetia Radio from London, a bilingual radio to listen and think.